London's Greek and Cypriot community cheers Archbishop Makarios as he attends church.
For 92-year-old Glafklos Clarides, a British-educated lawyer and the first speaker of the Cypriot Parliament, memories of the young, inexperienced first government of Archbishop Makarios are still vivid.
I can't describe that there were young politicians before the independence, because there was no parliament, there was no government elected in Cyprus. There was a governor sent by the colonial office, and he used to recruit some people around him, executive council as it was called, who was an advisory body to the governor. So there was not much political life in the sense that democracy works.
One early consensus between new parliament members was that they all saw a fundamental problem with the constitution, which was drawn to safeguard the rights of the nation's 100,000 Turkish Cypriots as well as the 500,000 Greek Cypriot majority. For many, it was a document that was woefully inadequate.
There was a dissatisfaction about the result, both on the Greek Cypriot side and on the Turkish Cypriot side. The Greek Cypriot side, the struggle was not merely to get rid of the colonial rule, but to unite Cyprus with Greece. And that was not achieved. On the other side, by the Turkish Cypriots, their concept was that if the British had to leave, then Cyprus must be partitioned. And they didn't get that either. So there was two communities who were very disappointed.
Former President George Vassiliou remembers that the constitutional wrangling between Greeks and Turks quickly led to rising tensions and eventually outright civil war.
Everybody was pleased that Cyprus was now an independent country, but a significant percentage of the people did not believe that this was the end. Many people felt that they were in some way cheated.
Few were surprised that the conflict between both communities started, which quickly spiralled into violence, and by 1964, the United Nations sent a 7,000-strong peacekeeping force to the island. The situation came to a head in 1974, when the military junta in Athens instigated a coup by Greek army officers in Cyprus, seeking to achieve union with Greece. President Makarios was overthrown, and just days later, Turkey invaded, splitting the island in two. The remnants of functioning government were presented with a multitude of problems, ranging from refugees to a collapsing economy. They were problems still being tackled a decade later, when George Vassiliou became president.
What happened after the invasion is that thousands and thousands of Cypriots went to the Middle East and did all kinds of work there, and then the money they earned in there, they turned it to Cyprus, and we developed Cyprus into an offshore, a center for international companies. And that is what really gave Cyprus the extra boost.
South Cyprus, which is marking this Independence Day, joined the European Union in 2004, and the self-proclaimed Turkish Republic of Northern Cyprus is recognized only by Turkey. A new round of UN-led negotiations to end the division started in late 2008 and have been described as the last chance for Cyprus peace. In the light of growing public pessimism about the peace prospects, Glafklos Clarides says the spectre of a permanently divided Cyprus looms, if a solution cannot be found soon.
The question is, as the time goes by, it becomes more difficult to solve the problem. And the risks of a partition are looming in the air.
George Vassiliou agrees.
It's both a happy and unhappy country. People have succeeded in building their lives again, but at the same time they're worried about the future not because they are afraid of being attacked or killed and so on, but they know that this division is not something that can stand.
The failure to agree a deal could spell the end to any future UN-sponsored dialogue, and both community leaders have stressed there is no plan B, that's no alternative. Nathan Morley for VOA News, Nicosia.